Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know, sometimes you can get excited praying. You know, you can be anointed to pray or you can just pray. Both of them are good. We need to pray, but you can be anointed to pray. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Lord is with us. Isn't that right? Well, I have been honored to be here with you. I pray I hadn't broke too many things, but I got one more night. You know what I mean? Thinking about breaking a few things tonight. I don't know. I'm joking, but it's good to see all the preachers that are here and all the churches that are represented here of the flock in the Jamestown Family Church here, and then the family churches throughout the region, whether you're in the state, out of the state, whether you have international airports or not. We just declare they are international. When we go there, and you have proven to me that the sun does exist in New York. There for several days, it didn't seem like it existed, you know. So it's good to be here. Good to be with you. You know, our connection has been through Reverend Michael Loketic. He and I go way back to the beginning of time. In fact, I met him when he come off the ark. You know what I mean? So when he came off the ark, I was there to greet him with the rest of them. And we became acquainted way back in, I believe it was 1985. And so that's been our divine connection. And then through this connection, was able to meet our wonderful Canadian friends here from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. Can anything good come from Mississauga? Pastor Craig, Pastor Jenny, but it's good to see them here. We did talk hard and fast to Pastor Tim to let them in. You know what I mean? I think they had to run them through the machine two or three times. You know what I mean? And I think they got highfalutin passes to get across the border. One of these days, I'll have to get me one of them things. What do you call it? Nexus. Anybody else know about Nexus? You got one of them things? You got them things? Nexus, yeah. I thought they were talking about Lexus, but they're talking about Nexus, you know, to get across. So they let them across the border. And of course, my wife and my son and my office, they send their love to you. And we appreciate your prayers, appreciate your support, appreciate all our friends here. And they're praying there, believing God with us. There's a lot going on in our area. We're expanding, we're growing, we're moving, we're changing. But this is a year of transition. I don't know if you realize it or not. It's a year of transition, transitioning into to another phase of what God wants to do. There were some hindrances that's been going on in the body of Christ now since 2006 that really was, I guess, multiplied in 2008, hindering the move of God. But people didn't want to follow the move of God, and I'm not, again, attacking anybody. I'm just making some statements. And what God has done is He just told me, He released me from an assignment that He had given me. And in the year of 2017, He released me from that and said, now it's time to move on. And because I was mourning for Saul. I don't know if you ever mourned for Saul or not. In 1 Samuel 15, 16, Samuel was mourning for Saul, wanting him to obey God. And God came to Samuel there in 1 Samuel 16, around verse 1, you start reading there. And He said, why mourn for Saul? He said, get your horn, fill it with oil, and go over yonder, and I'm just paraphrasing, and anoint David. He said, I've got somebody over there that's going to be and obey me and do what I want him to do. So I filled my horn with oil, and I'm going. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in a transitional phase. I'm moving on with God just like Samuel was, because they had been under the leadership of Saul, King Saul. And the Bible said about King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, as long as he was little in his own sight, God could use him. In other words, he didn't do anything without God's permission, but he actually got the big head. In fact, Granny would say it this way, he got too big for his britches. That's good country talk for city folks. You know what I mean? He got too big for his britches, and he thought he knew more than God, because God had given him a mission and an assignment to go in and kill a bunch of people. I mean, he said, get rid of all of them, and they didn't do exactly what God said do. They partially obeyed God, but what we discovered from the scriptures is that partial obedience by man to God is total disobedience to God. Because that's what God said. He said, Saul did not obey me, and the kingdom was rent from his hand, because Samuel the prophet, he wanted him to worship with him. Remember in 1 Samuel 15, you go back and read it later. But he wanted Samuel to worship with him, and Samuel wouldn't. He tried to walk off from him. He reached and grabbed his robe, mantle, and tore it. And Samuel turned around and prophesied and said, "The kingdom is rent from your hand this day." Well, the kingdom's been rent. I'm telling you, it's rent. I'm prophesying to you. It's been rent, and God's got a group of people that the anointing's coming on that's going to obey God, and we're going to usher in the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All this casual Christianity, namby-pamby, pity-patter, church stuff is going to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ, and the true church is coming to the forefront in the name of Jesus, and the devil is not going to stop it. I said the devil's not going to stop it. God's will and God's plan is taking place in the name of Jesus. Open your Bibles. I see this is the way we need to go. I said, when did you get it? Right now. Hallelujah. I've been waiting on God all day. Just waiting on God. Just waiting on God. Just waiting on God. I said, waiting on God. Waiting on God. Just waiting on God. I said, how long are you going to wait on God till he shows up? Said, what if he don't come for a month? I'm going to stay right there. I'm not going to get ahead of God. I'm not going to get behind God. I'm going to wait on God. God told Moses one day, come up to the mount. I want to talk to you. Moses climbed up the rocks. He got up there where God said, go. And he waited the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and the seventh day, God showed up. What if he had left on the sixth day? He would have not heard from God. It's a time to wait on God, church. I'm telling you right now. It's a time to lay aside our ideas, our plans, you know, our methods. It's been too long. The church has been having church without God, and it's not working. And it's not going to work. And I'm not saying every church is this way, because that's not true. God has a remnant that's going to obey him, and thank God you and I are part of that remnant. I said we are part of it, and we're going to move into it. Not that you're led by prophecies, but Dad Hagin promised me by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God through him, that you're going to be right in the middle of the last day end time move of God. He said, do you hear me, son? You're going to be right in the middle of the last day move of God. Do you hear me, son? I said, yes, Dad, I hear you. By this time, he had gotten excited, and he was beating on me with that diamond ring he's got, you know. And I think he forgets about it. I think doctor might have done some of that, you know. But with some of you around here. But anyway, he gets to slapping you because he gets slap happy. You know, the old Pentecostals used to get slap happy. When they prayed for you, they thought you had to shake you and beat you and everything. When you got through, you knew you got something one way or the other, either a beating or an anointing, one of the two. Turn in your Bibles, because you told me to Matthew, I think, 16. We live in a time of transition, ladies and gentlemen. Said, where's that word come from? The Holy Ghost. I didn't think it up. It comes from him. Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus here had asked his disciples who he was. And they said, well, some say that you're this. Some say that you're come back from this. And somebody says that you're like that prophet over there. Or you're this prophet back here in the Old Testament. He said to them, whom do you say I am? Who am I to you? You know, what am I going to be to you? And so Simon Peter replied in Matthew 16, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What he was saying is, you the man, and I'm saying it in good country talk and city talk. You're the man that's large and in charge. I'm talking about, we are submitted to you. You are the one. You're the King of Kings, and you're the Lord of Lords. You're the one. There's no other way. There's no other direction. We don't need to know anybody else. We need to know you. That's what Peter was acknowledging here. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. Notice this. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you. In other words, what Peter said was revelation knowledge. Revelation. Remember, the Lord spoke to me in September and parts of October of 2007 during a time of fasting and prayer. Remember that he told me there was going to come a split, separation, division in the entire body of Christ around the world. And I said, Lord, what's going to happen? He said, there's going to be a split, separation, and division. He said, out of this split in the, and not just the church, but the entire body of Christ, he said, out of this split, there's going to arise two types of churches. It's going to be a defining moment. Now, this defining moment was orchestrated by God himself. God drew a line in the sand and said, who's on my side, come over here. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to stay with the Holy Ghost. We're going to stay with the doctrines of the Word of God. And we're not going to get into flesh. We're not going to get in man's ideas. And we're going to wait on God till he says move. And when he says move, we're going to move. But he said there's going to be two types of churches that will arise from the split, separation, or division. Because God was drawing a line in the sand, so to speak. And he said, out of this division, separation, or split, two churches will arise, two types. He said, one will be an informational church. An informational church is where you get information. In fact, most churches in the United States of America, don't make me go to Canada too, I will cross the border. I'll tell you the truth about it. But in Canada or any other nation, a lot of churches, what you're going to get is a book report. Anybody can open a Bible or study a book and give you a book report on that. But that is information. And we do. There is truths about informations and doctrines. There's truths there. But we're not going to make it on a book report. There's a difference between information and revelation. I said, there is a difference. And so he said that these churches, informational churches, is going to be built on the plans, the ideas of men. And they are. What the informational churches have done is they have brought into the church cultural trends of society, what the world is doing, embraced it as God, and declared this is a new move of God. Now, because Dad Hagin is not here, by old-time Pentecostal principles, I will stand in by proxy for him, and this is what he would say. That is a bunch of bonk, junk, and hogwash. If you don't know those words, you need to adapt them. And the moment that something comes up that contradicts the Word of God, you need to immediately hit the devil right between the eyes with it and tell him that's a bunch of bonk, junk, and hogwash, because if it does not agree with the written Word of God, it is not true. I don't care who it comes from. Amen. They're ready to go back to Canada already. I can tell you. I believe we're going to stay here. Amen. God is with us. Informational churches are built on the plans and ideas of men. The largest church, multi-campus church in Tulsa, runs over 30,000 people. Multi-campus, and they're booming. They're exploding everywhere you go. But they're very structured and geared exactly so the Holy Ghost cannot get in there. Every service is started off with Black Sabbath song, Three Dog Night, or something, you know, or Joe Cocker, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. Anybody remember that? Hey, get his picture. My God, where's the cameraman? Give it to the pastor. You know Joe Cocker, and She Came In Through. I mean, that's how they start the service. Now, the idea is we want to identify with the world, to try to woo the world into our midst. Listen, nowhere does Jesus tell the church to bow down to the world. Nowhere. It's nowhere in the Bible. But the church as a whole, has bowed down to the world, trying to meet every request and demand that the world has, and the devil makes sure they have plenty of them, to try to get them to like us. Listen, can I tell you the doggone truth? Don't make me stand up on a chair. I'm telling you, don't make me stand up. I have. You know, I've done it over in Gatlinburg. Wasn't it Gatlinburg? When I come to myself, I was standing up in a chair preaching. It was amazing. We had a visitation in that meeting. It was amazing what God was doing. But nowhere are we told to bow down to the world. Nowhere. We're to tell them the truth. But what the church as a whole, not everybody, thank God, there's a lot of wonderful churches, just like right here, and a lot of churches here, and wonderful pastors here, and a lot of wonderful pastors and ministers across the United States and other countries. But what the world is, the church is doing, they're trying to bow down to meet the world's demands to try to get the world to like them. Listen, can I give you a wonderful, good advice? The world did not like Jesus, and they're not going to like you. I don't care how much you bow down to them. They killed Jesus. I said they murdered Jesus, and he was the Son of the living God. They murdered him. They took his life. But Jesus told the truth wherever he went, and we need to tell the truth. We do not bow down to the wishes of the world. We raise our hands to the creator of the universe. We do not bow down to the world. We do not meet the demands of the world, because if you begin to meet the demands of the world, where do you stop? Because once one demand is met, then another one's got to be met, then another one's got to be met, and that's exactly what happened in this 30,000 plus member multi-campus church. Exactly. Now you cannot tell. You're not even in a church. You're in an informational center. That's all you're in. You're getting information. That's all. Book reports, you know, and on the Bible, hopefully. Motivational speeches. That's what. And I'm not against motivating anybody. I think I heard Zig Ziglar one time years ago, you know. He said that when he first started all these motivational seminars, you know, and everything, he would, he wouldn't make very much, but corporations in his latter years, and of course, I don't know what his very last years, but in his latter years is when I heard him say this, corporations were giving him $100,000 a day to speak to their corporate audience. I thought, my God, they ain't paying me enough. And he'd motivate them salesmen and get them going, yay, hey, nay, boom, get them doing stuff. You know what I mean? He would do it. So, you know, you can motivate somebody. I'm not knocking Mr. Ziegler or nobody else, Dale Carnegie or anybody, huh? But people need to kick in the britches every now and then. But when you go to church now, let me tell you why you go to church. You go to church for spiritual reasons. And the church is majoring on almost everything but that. I'm telling you. You look at the church. The church is majoring on socialism, social things. And I'm not knocking that. We need to have social things. We need to have those. But that seems to be what the informational church is built upon. It's a social interaction with one another. And we need social interaction with one another. We need to slap each other around when the pastor ain't looking. I'll let you have it. I'll tell you right now. No, we need encouragement from us. So I'm not against that. But the informational church, that's their whole premise. That's their whole base. It's social interaction among people. But spiritual churches have interaction with God. That's what a church is for. You come into the church, and that's what this church is built upon. That's what these pastors in here, I know, the ministers I know, and other ministers I know, they're building their churches on spiritual things because they are eternal. If you build a church on earthly things, it is going to fail. It is going to fall apart. And listen, all I've done is open the Bible, read a part of a scripture, and all this is coming out. But I've been praying about it since early this morning. Early this morning. So informational churches, they're built upon the plans, ideas of men. So in these churches, it's running 30,000 people, you know, there. And I'm not against big numbers. My Lord, y'all knock the walls out here and get 25 or 30,000 a year. Be all right with me. I ain't going to be mad about it. It's all right. God wants to build. He's building strong local churches. That's what he does. We thank God for the local church. So it's not the numbers, but you could go into those churches and you will find out that probably 90 to 95% of them don't even know who Jesus is personally. They know him from a distance or a book report. That's all. In other words, they have not been born again. They have adapted to a way of thinking because they fit in with a social club when they do that. You know what I mean? They're joining a club, so to speak. They're not coming into the kingdom of God, and there is a difference. Jesus said you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. So can I go a step further? All right. Did I read any scriptures? I'm talking about revelation knowledge. But at verse 18, he said, I'll say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he said, I will, the rock that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he's going to build his church. He's going to do it, not man. The problem occurs in the informational church that man builds it and not God. Psalms 127:1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Dad Hagin used to point out to all of us, you recall, he said, notice they did get it built, but all of it was in vain because it wasn't God's plan. It was built upon man. So also in the informational church, let me tell you what's there. Now, most people don't realize this, and I only know this by revelation, and that doesn't mean I know everything, you know. But what most people don't realize, they think when a devil is in some place that he's always got fangs foaming at the mouth and kicking up dust, and that's not true. Some of the greatest demon-possessed people on the earth, you'll see them on TV if you got a TV, and you can see them almost every day, and most people don't even know they are totally demon-possessed. The devil is speaking right through their lips. I'm telling you. So in these churches that I'm talking about, informational churches, do you know what's dominating that church? It's a religious spirit. Religious spirits make people do religious things. In fact, people with religious spirits, if you'll permit me to use it this way, act more religious sometimes than people that are actually born again. Because they must. They're driven by that devil. They're driven by that devil. So these churches have a religious, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. In other words, it's a counterfeit pseudo Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't know what pseudo was, you remember, with my 11th grade education. But I found out what it was from the doctor. I went to the doctor back years ago because I was having a few problems, and he said, in trusting God, but I decided I'm going to go to the doctor. He said, I'm going to give you a shot. It's going to hop you up, and this thing here is going to fix you up. So he brought this needle, this cow needle out. It's what I call it, you know. It says it ain't going to hurt. They lie. I'm telling you, they lie. Thank God for the wonderful nurses. But, you know, oh, and you're in terror looking at this thing. And he shot me with that. The doctor actually done it. And, I mean, this doctor was the kind of doctor that yelled and screamed. The nurses hid from him, you know. He was mean. They call it in the country a mean old cuss. You know what I mean? He was just mean, mean guy. He gave me a shot, and he made me sit in his office for a while, see if I'd die. I'm telling you, that's what it was. They were seeing if I'd die. They try these lotions and potions, Tricoline, Valvoline, Maybelline, whatever they can do. Bang, shoot them with it, you know. See if it's going to help you. So they made me sit there, and I said, yeah, y'all just want to see if I'll die or not. You probably never gave anybody this potion before. So finally, after about 3 hours, literally, of sitting there in this room and him coming by looking at me, how do you feel? How do you feel? And I thought, well, what do you care? But I didn't say that. He might give me another one, you know. So we left, and we was going out where our home was kind of outside the city at that time, and we were going down the road, and all of a sudden it hit me. I don't know what it was, but it hit me. And I mean, it was like my body started shutting down. I started getting cold sweats, my vision, you know, and eyes got dilated, and I knew I wasn't a drug addict anymore. So I knew all this kind of stuff is abnormal. I got real weak, like I couldn't stand. And so there was a drugstore. Y'all remember where the drugstore was on Macon Road on Highway 80, right outside of Columbus, Georgia, on the right? And there was a Wendy's drive-thru, you know, the Wendy's hamburger place. It was right there, and I told my wife, I got to pull in here to this drugstore, because I'm going to go in there and talk to the pharmacist if I can get out of the car and tell them, look, I think I'm dying or something, you know. So anyway, I called back to the doctor's office, and I said, I need to talk to Dr. So-and-so. You know, the fellow gave me a shot. Well, he's busy. I said, you tell him, this is the preacher that was in there. He gave that shot. And I said, I'm out here dying. And I said, if you don't let me talk to him, my blood is going to be on your hands. And it scared the nurses. My God, it scared the nurses. Doctor, this preacher said he's dying out yonder. He's dying. So when I got the doctor on the phone, he said, what is it? You know, gruff man. I said, I feel like I'm dying. He said, what do you feel? I said, I have this, I have that, I have that. He wants to know all the symptoms so he can diagnose you, you know. So I gave him all the symptoms about the cold sweat, heartbeat speed up, going down, eyes spinning around, you know, can't see straight, about weak, about to fall out. He said, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, you just ain't felt good in so long. He said, that's a pseudo death. I said, sir, that's a real old death. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, what in the world is pseudo? He said, it's a sham, it's fake, it ain't real. I said, is that what pseudo means? He said, that's what it means. I said, mine's not pseudo, sir, it's real old. My God. And I went in that drugstore. I didn't care what that doctor said. I went in that drugstore and got him to give me a potion. And I took that potion, my Lord, and I got my life back. And I made a promise to God, I'll never go let that fella shoot me again. But I told you, he said, all your symptoms are pseudo symptoms. I said, what is pseudo? He said, they're not real. He said, you just never felt good and your body's trying to adjust to it. I said, no, my body's trying to die. And it was. I was living in it. I can tell you it was. But that's when I learned what the word pseudo means. It's a sham. So these churches have a pseudo Holy Ghost called a religious spirit that's actually a sham. A religious spirit makes people feel good for a moment. It does. Every demon, ladies and gentlemen, is not frothing at the mouth and don't have fangs 4 inches long. Satan is a deceiver. A religious spirit acts like the Holy Ghost. He is counterfeit. That's what a religious spirit does. So these churches that are going through all these programs and motions and doing all these natural worldly things are actually following a religious spirit. And probably, again, 95% of them are not born again because they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And God cannot allow it to continue because what he's waiting for is the precious fruit of the earth. So while I was praying earlier, and that's what got me started on all of this, I got in the Spirit praying, and the Lord had me pray out that these things be removed. And I'm not out for people to things to happen to people, but just reposition them somewhere. Take them to Mars. You know, my son's got these high flying, fighting degrees, I told him, I said, son, NASA may call you to fly that monkey to Mars. Well, I know where there's a lot of monkeys they need to put up. And by 2020, they're supposed to be up there, going up there. You know, we investigated. Remember, I've told you around here, we wanted to find out how much fuel, and they said they're going to park fuel tanks out there in outer space because it takes the majority of the fuel to launch out of our atmosphere. That would preach right there, preachers, because of the drag the Earth system puts on them. But anyway, they're supposed to go up there and do something, but they're not carrying monkeys, they're carrying real people. So how long is it going to take them? They don't really know, but they want you to go. And what they do is they strap you in, remember, where you can't get out. Remember that? They take you and walk you through all this fog and smoke and this oxygen burning through the air and all that stuff, and they strap you in this capsule and they light the match at the bottom, and if it don't blow up, you're gone out of here. I'm just telling you the truth about it. Because what they're doing is they're strapping you into a doggone rocket. Do you know that? One of the most volatile machines besides a nuclear bomb on this earth. Because all they're doing is bringing a lot of chemicals together at one time and lighting a match, boom! And they pray it don't blow you to Mars. Explode you to Mars. But informational churches have religious spirits in them. Religious spirits make people feel emotionally religious. Religious spirits gets intertwined in the emotional realm and the intellectual realm of a person's psyche. Now, that's a big word for a country boy, I'm telling you. But that's what happens. And they make them have feelings mentally, emotionally, that God is there, when really it's a religious spirit. So their conscience, we would say, is soothed. They have a good feeling about themselves for a moment. And then they live and go out and live like the devil. These churches don't have altar calls or anything like that because they believe in being non-confrontational. But they're all governed by a religious spirit. Don't make me come to where you're at and cast a religious spirit out of the church. I'm not saying that you have one. Don't get me wrong. But it's what I'm amazed at. When people don't know the Holy Ghost, they will embrace the false. They will accept a pseudo Holy Ghost, a religious spirit. So when you quit praying, then you're going to start obeying a religious spirit. And because you don't know the will of God, and people don't, what the first thing they start doing is, what is so-and-so doing over yonder? How are they? And I'm not saying you couldn't learn something from somebody or some natural. I'm not saying any of that. But what they do is they base their entire ministry on what so-and-so done to make their church grow and get to the place that it's in. And remember, God is not against large churches. He's not. He wants to build his church. But he wants his church built upon the Word, upon the Spirit, and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what's going to take people to heaven. And that's what's going to set people free. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. So these churches, informational, then they don't have a revelation of the Word. There's a difference between information and revelation. I think Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie and I was talking about this maybe today at lunch. And they both knew the story. But it was that Dad Hagin learned this himself from Jesus Christ back in December of 1952. Remember, in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Did you ever make it to Broken Bow? You did? Broken Bow, did you go to that little Assembly of God church in the corner? Didn't? Broken Bow. It's a wonder they didn't let him in the city. But he texted me one day. He was down there at McKinney, you know, trying to find 501 North College Street and East Standiford Street and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I don't know if he got caught up to the third heaven or not. Jenny brought him back, though. She knew he don't qualify to stay up there. Pastor Jenny, by the way. But anyway, in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, it's just a little bitty city there in southeastern Oklahoma. In fact, I know that our wonderful Mayville pastor here in this wonderful Mayville church, they have a claim to fame on Bigfoot. I know that. but he lives in southeastern Oklahoma. Said, how does he get back and forth? He has frequent flyer miles. That's what happens. He goes back and forth. But anyway, they claim he's down there. They got mountain ranges in that area, and it's called the Comanche Mountains, and they claim he lives there. In fact, they even got pictures of him and everything. I know Pastor Jeff knows him because he had a picture of him beside him. I don't know if you ever saw that picture. He's seen him in that picture, so he knows him. I think he's one of his ushers at church, maybe. I don't know. But down there in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, now this is a little bitty city. I want to encourage you. It was a little bitty city. Not a lot of people. Probably at that time, the last time I was there, the population was 1,800. And that's not been real, real long ago. So it's not very big. So in the day that Dan Hagin was there, it probably wasn't that big, small. So Jesus visits big cities, but he also comes to seemingly insignificant places where people desire him to show up. Jesus showed up at the pastor's house, remember? Him and Dad Hagin, the pastor, Dad Hagin, the pastor's little daughter, had knelt down to pray in the kitchen one night after a service. Dad Hagin said when he knelt down in what seemed to him like a white cloud. And that was the glory of God is what it was. And all the furniture, you know, he was seeing into the realm of the Spirit, so the furniture disappeared and all that kind of stuff. And then he looked up, you know, startled about what's going on, and where the kitchen ceiling would have been that you could see with your natural eyes, it had disappeared. And right there about where the kitchen ceiling was at, there stood Jesus. And Jesus said to him, he said, I've come to teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits. And he said, you know, how they operate, what they do, and how they will even get a hold of Christians if Christians allow them to. That's what Jesus said. And I'm not going into all that. But anyway, during the process of Dad Hagin in the vision with Jesus, and Jesus is teaching him about devils and demons and his authority over them, because he didn't know his authority during that day. They used to pray for God to do something about the devil because they didn't know they had authority over them. And they're an Assembly of God church, you know. But as Jesus was talking to Brother Hagin, this little demon, remember, ran between them. And it started making a racket, yakety-yak, yakety-yak, and it put out a screen of smoke so that he couldn't see Jesus. He could hear the muffling sound of Jesus' voice, but he couldn't make out what he was saying. So he said to himself, Dad Hagin did, why don't Jesus do something about this demon? Don't he know I need to get this revelation? And this demon just kept on yakety-yak, put out the smoke screen so he couldn't see Jesus. And he just kept on, why don't Jesus do something about this? Don't he know I need to get this revelation? So he went on about that way for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes or so. Then finally, out of frustration and desperation, Dad Hagin said to this demon, I command you to shut up and stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And immediately, I said immediately, at the name of Jesus, that demon shut up, stopped, the smoke screen disappeared, and flop, it hit the floor in the spirit and lay there shivering and shaking. The devil was afraid of Dad Hagin in the name of Jesus, and he's afraid of you in the name of Jesus. But I want to point out to you something. That was a little demon. But that little harassing demon was causing big problems for Dad Hagin. Little devils will cause big problems if not dealt with. Jesus is not going to deal with them for us. We must deal with them. That was a harassing spirit, harassing Dad Hagin. He rebuked it. Anytime you sense any kind of harassment, you rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you command that devil to go in Jesus' name. I'm not talking about rebuking your neighbor. You know what I mean? But I have had them operate through people. But I've done it where people didn't even know what I was doing. And I would bind an harassing spirit. You've probably heard me tell the story. But for about 20 years, I dealt with an individual in my family, a real close family member, that somehow just had it in for me. Because, you know, I had been gloriously born again, and they always, it seemed to me, and I may be wrong, Maybe they secretly believed that I was just running a sham. You know what I mean about Christianity? A con game. You know, because I used to be a convict and I used to run the shams. I used to play the games, convict games, you know what I mean? Fool people, you know. And I don't know, this somehow or another, this person just constantly seemed to harass me. Not all the time, but it seemed like this the most inopportune times. I was trying to do something for God. This person would get after me and start talking to me and just getting me down, you know, and I'd always talk about, well, I'm going to walk in love, and I could for a while. But then I would get like old Popeye the Sailor Man. I done stands it till I can't stands it no more. So, and I'd just give them a piece of my mind. You know what I mean? And you're not supposed to, unless you have to. In some cases, you have to. And so I did, because I didn't know how else to deal with it. But it would just get worse. It would get worse. After all else fails, ladies and gentlemen, let me save you 20 years of torment. I'm telling you. I'm admitting my faults to you so you don't have to make the same mistakes I made. Remember what Dad Hagin used to tell us, Reverend Michael? He said this. He said, if you'll take what it's took me 50 years to learn, he said, if you'll listen to me and put it into practice, it'll save you 50 years. 50 years. I took it to heart. I know Reverend Michael did. I took it to heart. I said, my Lord, I don't want to have to learn like he did. I want to just walk in what he already knows, you know. And so 20 years of going through this. Finally, when all else failed, at the point of desperation, I didn't know what to do. I'd come to the end of myself finally, thank God. When all else fails, what do? Pray. After 20 years, it finally dawned on me one day, why don't I pray and ask the Lord about it? Dad Hagin used to say this, and back then when he first started saying it, and back then I really didn't know what he was talking about. But as I began to go through life and have experiences, I understood. He said, there's some things the Lord won't tell you, he just won't tell you, unless you ask him. He said, why is that? I don't know, but it's the truth. Why didn't the Lord tell me? He didn't. So I prayed about it, specifically about that situation. And the Lord said this to me. He said, you are dealing with flesh and blood. In Ephesians, he gives me chapter and verse every time he talks to me. He gives me the principle in the Bible. He said, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, says, so you wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he said, that's all you've done for 20 years. And he was right. In other words, I was dealing with a human being. He said, it is not a human being. He said, it's a demon operating through that human being. And he said, that's a harassing spirit. I mean, it was not even human the way this person was doing me. It was, you know, it was just very unkind. But after all these years, the Lord said, that's a harassing spirit operating through her, and because it was a lady. It's operating through her, and it don't necessarily have to be a lady, so I'm not getting on the ladies. You know what I mean? So it just happened in this case. So you can cheer up and smile. But this lady, he said, this spirit had been operating and getting stronger and stronger over you because you've been yielding to it. I didn't know it. If you yield to the devil, he has more power over you. So this individual began to have more control over me and can control my emotions, my actions, my intellectual realm, and get me all stirred up because I kept yielding to it and didn't know it. Just ignorant. And the Lord said, this is what you do. He said, you call that person's name, and then you say this. You say, you foul spirit, harassing spirit, that's operating through so-and-so, and call their name. He said, say, I command you to stop your maneuvers against me now in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, from then on, he said, just thank God that you're free. I've done what the Lord said. Ladies and gentlemen, like Brother Hagin used to say, and I'm not a magician, but it worked like magic. It totally changed until this day. till this day, I haven't had any more trouble. I have not. Now, there's been opportunities, but I never yielded to it. I just said, you're bound. You know, not to the person, but to the spirit. You go to calling people devils, you lose a lot of friends. Especially kinfolk, you know. But dealt with that harassing spirit. But notice this, and what I said that for is to point this out. Nothing happened until I done something myself. What I mean by that, I took the authority that Jesus gave me. He didn't rebuke that devil for me. I had to rebuke the devil. In Dad Hagen's case, it was similar. Dad Hagen was there, and this demon's running back and forth, and finally he said to this demon, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, command you to stop, and immediately kerflop, that thing hit the floor, the smoke screen disappeared, and then here you got the demon laying there shivering and shaking. And Dad Hagen said, not only you got to stop, he said, I command you to get out of here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing got up and ran off. Jesus looked at Dad Hagen and said to him, he said, if you had not done that, he said, I could not have done it. And then Dad Hagen said, Lord, I know I didn't hear you correctly. You meant to say that you did not want to do something about that demon, not that you could not do something about the demon. Jesus said, no, that is not what I said. He said, I told you that if you had not done something about that demon, in other words, commanding to go in my name, he said, I could not have done it. Dad Hagen tells a story, and he said he actually reached up and grabbed his ear and shook it, you know, because he thought he had something blocking his ear. And he said again to the Lord, he said, Lord, I know you meant to say you didn't want to do anything about that devil, not that you could not do something about it. And Jesus looked at him, it's like fire shot out of his eyes, and said, no. He said, I told you, if you had not done something about that devil, I could not have done something about him. Brother Hagin said he was always bad about opening his mouth, putting his foot in it. That's country talk for city folks. And he said he opened his mouth, put his foot in it. He said, dear Lord Jesus, he said, even though you're here appearing to me, I see you as plain as I've ever seen any human being in my life. He said, but I can't accept this revelation or any other revelation unless you prove it to me in the Word. So I want you to give me at least two or three witnesses in the New Testament that proves to me this revelation that you're saying. And he said, Jesus looked at him and he smiled sweetly. And he said to him, he said, I'll go you one better. He said, I'll give you four witnesses in the New Testament that what I'm saying to you is true. Brother Hagin again opened his big mouth again. I'm just paraphrasing his words. His big mouth again. And he said this. He bowed up like a Benny Rooster. To crow, you know. And he said, dear Lord Jesus, I've read the New Testament through 150 times. And portions of it more than that. And he said, if there's anything in there like you're saying, he said, I sure don't know it. Jesus responded, remember, and said, son, there's a lot of things in there that you don't know. What he was saying is, Brother Hagin had information, but he didn't have revelation. There is a difference. And that's why I shared that story. Informational churches have information, but they don't have the revelation. Brother Hagin, at that time, even in his life, could quote over three quarters of the New Testament. In fact, his earlier ministry, if you were to go way back and get reel-to-reel recordings of his ministry, a lot of it was him just quoting scripture after scripture after scripture after no illustrations or nothing. Later on is when he changed the format of his ministry. But he could just spit them out one after the other under the anointing because he could quote over three quarters of the New Testament. Doctrinally sound, anybody that would challenge him on any doctrine, he could just take the scriptures and quote them right out to them. And show him. Every time he would win every argument on any doctrinal issue where people were getting off and saying he was wrong when he could prove it to them right out of the Bible. We need to be a stickler for the Word. What does the Word say? That's what Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie and I have been talking about this week. We've been talking about things that we always say. We ask ourselves, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? If it doesn't say it in the Word, we're not going to embrace it. So there's a difference between information about the Bible and revelation of the Bible. Thank you for getting excited. So informational churches will give you a book report, hopefully on the Bible, but it won't be revelation from the Bible, because revelation only comes from the Father and knowing Him. Peter was told by Jesus, you didn't receive this from flesh and blood, but from my Father which is in heaven. Revelation knowledge comes from heaven. Because if you don't have revelation knowledge of the Word of God, you're limited in your understanding, like Dad Hagin. And of course, Jesus, and I'm not going to quote the Scriptures, but Jesus gave him the Scriptures right out of the New Testament, gave him revelation of what those Scriptures were saying, and proved to him that what he was saying was true. And Brother Hagin accepted it, adopted it, and from that came a book called The Authority of the Believer. And tapes, and back then it was reel-to-reels and tapes and CDs, and now, you know, it's online and books and all kinds of stuff. But he had that revelation. So he didn't have just information in the Bible, he had revelation. So the informational churches, again, through that church, a religious spirit operates. The religious spirit is a pseudo-Holy Ghost. In other words, it's a sham. It works on people in the emotional realm, in the intellectual realm, and it makes them feel warm and fuzzy. That's what it does, a religious spirit. And you thought, see, a religious spirit, they're going to have fangs, you know, 2 or 3 feet long, and they're foaming at the mouth. But not necessarily so. There's churches across this nation and around the world that have religious spirits in the pulpit and religious spirits in the audience. Thank you for getting excited. Aren't you glad you go to a revelational church? Aren't you glad that you got revelational pastors and members? Aren't you glad that you're born again? Aren't you glad that you're going to heaven? That you're on your way there? Aren't you glad you're in a revelational church? Woohoo! You know, we was over at Erie, Pennsylvania, Saturday night. And one of the things I noticed there, they got a gigantic baptismal pool. It's called Lake Erie. That was the biggest baptismal tub ever seen. Down south, we get cattle troughs trying to get some water together to stick people down in it, you know. But they got a big pool over there. And then around here, they got a lake with a belt around the middle of it. What do they call that belt? Shovel. What is that thing? Tied in the middle. Did y'all know that? It's a hysterical facts, he tells me. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And I went to where it was tied in the middle. I did. It's Bemis Point. Bemis Point. That's where it's tied in the middle. Then the two bodies of water get big. So that's where the waistline of the lake is. Bemis Point. And then they got that ferry that's drawn by cable, but it's not operating now. You got to swim. You know what I mean? I found that out. So in informational churches, the reason people like that environment is quick, fast, in a hurry. It soothes their conscience, but does nothing for their spirit. So people don't realize it. If they've never had the real Holy Ghost, they don't know the difference. And so that's what informational churches are built upon. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what's he going to build his church upon? Let's see what the Bible says. The revelational church. Verse number 16 again. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he had a revelation from God, from our Father, about who Jesus was. Verse 18, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? The revelation that Peter received from heaven, that Jesus was the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't that what the Bible says? And he said, I'll give unto these the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Isn't that right? Notice we do the binding on earth and heaven backs us up. We do the loosening on earth and heaven backs us up. So today what Jesus is doing, he's building strong revelational churches. So how in the world do we have a revelational church? Well, if you go back and get some of my old newsletters, which they're online, you can read all about it. In fact, Dr. Dufresne, this is back when the Lord first gave me this revelation, Dr. Dufresne contacted our ministry, or Mitch, or somebody did, and wanted permission to print our article that we had written in a magazine about the informational churches and revelational churches. And of course, we was honored that he would even want to do anything like that, you know. And so we said, surely yes. But he said the reason he wanted to do it is, remember, he was caught up to heaven. Remember that? When he, what was it, the elevator thing or something? Anyway, he was caught up to heaven or something, and he got a revelation about it, but he didn't have it in words, just like that I put it in words. You know, he saw things and then tried to describe it. And I know you know this, but sometimes when you see spiritual things, it's hard to interpret them in the English language so we can communicate it to others. Well, I didn't see it the way he saw it, so the Lord gave it to me more by revelation so I could communicate it so I could understand it. And so he reprinted that in the magazine. But a revelational church, first and foremost, you ready for this? Revelational churches, if you want to know what Jesus is doing in building strong revelational churches, first and foremost, they're built upon the foundation of prayer. Number two, the Word. Number three, the Holy Ghost. And of course, all of those really go in unison together. You don't separate them and say, well, I can do this and not do that, do this. No, they all go together. They're built upon the Word and Spirit, but the foundation is prayer. If you show me a person that will spend time with God, set aside time to pray, set aside time to get in the Spirit, because sometimes it takes seasons of prayer. Not all the time, but sometimes it takes seasons of prayer to really be able to ascertain what God is doing and saying to your spirit. Reverend Charles Finney said this about his meetings, when he had some of the most powerful meetings I think that the world maybe has ever known. I don't know. Some of the scholars say this is possible, some of the most powerful evangelistic outreach meetings. But this is what he said about his own ministry in those meetings as far as the anointing went. He said if he ever lost the spirit of prayer, he lost the anointing. He was ineffective at reaching the people. He said if he ever lost the spirit of prayer, he lost the anointing. He was ineffective, in other words. He said ministering is more than preaching the word. And that's where that we got to have the word in spirit. Because many people say, well, just preach the word, preach the word. One friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, called me one time mad. He called me mad. He said, they lied to me at that Bible school we went to. We're talking about Rhema, you know. They lied to me in that Bible school. I said, they did? I said, how'd they lie? He said, well, they told me to preach the word and they'll come. He said, I've stayed away by the thousands. And he was right. And he made an adjustment. And when he did, he got a breakthrough. He went from 26 to 630, and the population was 830 in the city. Now, he didn't maintain that, you understand? He didn't maintain. Because devils come when you start growing and everything. But he did realize there was more to it than just preaching and teaching good scriptural principle doctrines in the Word. You had to have the Spirit to empower the Word, to bring revelation knowledge. Isn't that right? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in some of the greatest times the world has ever seen or known. So if we're going to have revelational churches, which we do have, first and foremost, they're going to be based upon prayer because Jesus is the head of the church. He said, I will build my church Yes, we're going to have the Word and the Spirit, because if you get away from the Word and you say, well, the Spirit is saying this, remember this, and I'm trying to get to a place that I could unhook, that'd be a miracle. But don't threaten me now, I'm telling you. Paul preached that they died on him, and then he went and raised him from the dead and said, sit back up here and listen. But it's amazing what God wants to do in a revelational church. Isn't that right? And that's what God is doing today. You're going to start seeing informational churches. They're already crumbling. I don't know if you've heard, especially in the United States. People, key leaders of large churches are come tumbling down. And I'm not glad it happened. Don't get me wrong. They're caught in all kind of shenanigans, you know, and going to bed with everybody but the right person. I'm not, you know, I know we got kids in here, but I'm not going far with that. But and then things that's going wrong, embezzlement. I mean, and these are these informational churches. They're falling apart because why? The only thing that can empower you to say no to your flesh is the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to whoop the flesh. I don't care who you are. Or what kind of Superman suit you put on or Superwoman suit you put on, you're not going to whoop the flesh without the Holy Ghost. Whoop. Y'all know that word in Canada. Whoop. Y'all know what whoop means? I said, where's the scripture at in the Bible that proves what you're saying, Brother Randy? I thought you would ask that. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, walk in the Spirit and then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you don't walk in the Spirit, I'll guarantee you the flesh is going to whoop you every time. And so that's what's going to happen. The churches are not necessarily going to be destroyed by the devil. It's going to be destroyed by the flesh that's there. And he's going to be involved in it because he wants to deceive a lot of people. But all these things will start being exposed. But strong revelational churches are being built upon prayer, upon the Word, and upon the Spirit of God. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to empower the Word of God. And that's what we believe. That's what you believe. And I believe that's what we're going to receive in this time. So if you already know that that's what God is doing and you do know it, just embrace it. He said, Brother Randy, well, I'm not into the fivefold ministry. I'm not in this. Everybody has a ministry. It's the ministry of go and tell. Isn't that right? So everybody needs to pray. Everybody needs to have a relationship with God. And it's an honor, I'm telling you, to be called into a revelational church. It's an honor. It's an honor not to be deceived. It's an honor to know what's going on. It's an honor not to have a pseudo Holy Ghost called a religious spirit. It's an honor to be around pastors and men and women of God that will tell us the truth and the right things and love us and help us to grow. And then we can reach our community with the Lord Jesus Christ and see Jesus Christ return, because he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and you and I are involved in it. Amen? So I'd encourage you tonight, don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. I said, you're going to reap if you faint not. Now, I don't know what this means, but today while I was praying, I saw something in the Spirit about this region here. I don't know how far it goes, but I saw these mountains going up and down in the Spirit. I'm talking about the hills were rolling. You know what I'm talking about? And I said, Lord, I said, what is that? And sometimes when you see things in the Spirit, it's a picture where God gives you a spiritual analogy of. You know what I mean? He said, what you see, he said, you're seeing in the natural, the land moving, and I'm seeing it in the Spirit now. I'm not actually seeing the physical land going up and down, but I'm seeing it in the Spirit like it was like waves in the ocean just going. He said, what you're doing is seeing waves of my Spirit that's going to flow through this area just like waves will go over the lake. He said, I'm going to move through here. And he said, you tell the church, when you go out there tonight, he said, you tell the church that if they'll pray, a wave like they have never seen or known has come into this area. I'm telling you, it's due. I'm telling you, it's due. I'm telling you, there's a storm, a good storm a coming. In fact, I can tell you what I saw. Anybody know Pastor Jeff Miller over there in Illinois, by Chicago, my mafia friend? He's close to Chicago, you know. But anyway, I was in his church and I saw a whirlwind. A whirlwind. I mean, I'd never been to his church before, never preached in his church. It's been a few years back, you know. But I was standing there in praise and worship. All of a sudden, I'm in the spirit and I saw a whirlwind. And this thing was coming down from heaven. And this whirlwind was tearing everything up. And I thought it's going to destroy everything on the planet. But what I saw, this whirlwind cleaned things up and God stood up and the church come to its glory. And I believe that's a type and shadow of what I was seeing here today in the spirit about the spiritual wave or move of God's spirit. You know, Dr. Dufresne used to talk a lot about catching the wave. You know what I mean? I never have been one because I didn't see it like he did, you know, and he knows more than I do, you know. But anyway, he always talked about catching that wave. But I believe this is a wave that if we'll start paddling right now, so to speak, we're going to catch it and we're going to sail into heaven on this wave in the name of Jesus. And not only is it just going to be us, it's going to be a whole region that's coming to know Christ because Christ has been building his church in this area for years, ladies and gentlemen. For years, he's been setting things in order. He's bringing discipline in this area, and people don't like it, but you don't give up. You be disciplined. You be steadfast. You stay with what you know works, and don't quit, and don't give up. And I'll guarantee you this, the glory of God is going to come on you, and you're going to be, I'm telling you, I can see it now. You're going to be slain in the spirit and you're going to have visions and revelations of heaven like you've never seen or known. I see it. I see it. I said, I see it. I can see it in the spirit right now. Praise God, I see it. That's what this wave is doing. It belongs to us. And our Canadian friends fool with us, we'll wash over the lake and come to their house. Hallelujah. Woo! Because I think I'll be up there, what, in June or sometime or another. Woo-wee! We'll get a wave started over there and a wave started over here. My Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, I see a wave of the Holy Ghost. This wave surpasses anything that has ever happened in the church world before. This is going to be a culmination of the book of Acts multiplied by many, many, many times. And we're going to see his glory, his power, and his anointing in this hour. And we're in the edges of it right now. And that's what God has called you to. And that's why you're so excited about it, because it's a witness in your spirit. So it belongs to us, ladies and gentlemen. So let's don't let this wave pass us by. And I know you won't. Grab a hold to it in the realm of the spirit. Make the decision that I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to be part of it. We're going to see this sweeping revival, we used to call it in Old Time Pentecost. Sweep in. Miracles, signs, and wonders. See legs grow out, arms grow out, limbs come in, eyeballs pop in people's heads. I'm talking about the supernatural. But see, that's why the devil has fought this with the informational churches, because he's trying to destroy what God's going to do. But I got news for him, he can't stop it. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. So you and I have a part in it. We're going with it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the glory of God, and I thank you for revealing that to us and showing that to us. Lord, we embrace it, we accept it, and Lord, we're going to act on it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the glory of God and the anointing of God to be upon us in this day, in this hour, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for that spirit that's moving, Lord, across the region and across the land. Thank you for your doing, Lord, here and around the world in the name of Jesus. Lord, and may your word and may your plans take place and come to pass in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed, you're here tonight. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're doing anything wrong, but I need to say this in the right way. You're here tonight and the enemy has been trying to oppress you, attack you, attacking your mind, attacking your body. But especially coming against you in your mind. I sense that there's people here that's been dealing with some issues like this, and the Holy Ghost wants to minister to you tonight. If that's you, raise your hand boldly in Jesus' name. I see hands going up here, hands over there, all over here, over there, over here on this side, in the middle. Everybody can look at me and stand to your feet. If you raise your hand for prayer, if you raise your hand for prayer, just step out from where you're at and come down to the front. If you raise your hand for prayer, just step out from where you're at. Doesn't mean you've been doing anything wrong, but I'm here to tell you there's an anointing here tonight to break that. Sometimes that's what you need. There's an anointing to do that, to break that over people's lives and bring a peace in your life, because some of you have been going through torment, I'm telling you. And it's time to be free from those things. It's time to be free from them. Father, we thank you. Lord, you're the head of the church. And by direction of you, the head of the church, Lord, we lay hands upon these people. Lord, as I lay my hands upon them, I thank you that it carries a spiritual significance, that I'm exercising authority over things that's tried to hinder them in their life. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a freedom that they're going to experience that they've never experienced before, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that it's in your name. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. The name above all names. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name, Lord Jesus. It's in your name, Lord Jesus, that they experience this freedom. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for that peace of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we just take that name, the name above every name, Lord, and we take and use that name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare our freedom. We declare our liberty. We declare our victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The name above every name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it. Lord, we receive it. We act upon it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We thank you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, the name that's above all names. The name that's above all names. The name that's above all names. The name of Jesus. I said it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater. That's what you need to get into your spirit tonight. The name of Jesus is greater than any of these things. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus is greater. The name of Jesus is greater, and that's the name that has set you free. That's the name that has set you free. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. Lord, that you set in motion the spiritual law in the name of Jesus. Have we prayed for her? I think we prayed for her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I invoke and I speak a very special blessing over every individual under the sound of my voice. And now, Father, I bind a spirit of religion that is over this region. And I command you in Jesus' name to take your hands off this region, loose it and let it go. And Father, I pray that those that have been bound by this, some for years, Father, I thank you that they're set free in the name of Jesus, and the light shall come. And the revival shall take place, and the Spirit will flow, and in a new way we shall go. And I invoke and I speak a very special blessing over this church, these pastors, and these church members, and this region and area. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have preached myself happy again. Woo, happy, happy. The Lord is with us. I saw it in the Spirit. We're in for it. We're ready for it. We love you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. We've been so helped tonight. Amen. Praise God. Reverend Greer, you know, we just want to say just how much we appreciate. Folks, aren't you grateful to be here tonight? Aren't you grateful to be sitting under an anointed ministry, a powerful ministry, a scriptural ministry, a safe ministry, a Holy Ghost ministry, a revelation ministry. Praise God. Reverend Greer, thank you so much for what we've received this week. It's been priceless. My wife and I, we've been so helped and strengthened. Of course, I've gotten a double, triple portion because you should just hear the sermons we're getting at lunchtime. Praise God. It's just been such a rich time. The message, you know, tonight, I mean, it just makes me so grateful for Pastor Michael, for Pastor Nancy. Just grateful for this uncompromised heart that is in these churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, Reverend Greer, thank you. We've received your offices that you stand in. We received the revelation of God, and we just honor you and are so grateful to have you here. We give God all the glory and all the praise. Well, folks, how many of you remember what tonight is? Double up night. Praise the Lord. What's that mean? That just means we're going to double up on our generosity. We're going to send Reverend Greer out of here blessed, so that his ministry knows that the family churches are generous. Amen. We want to treat those that the Lord sends into our midst, we want to treat them as if they were Jesus. Amen. And so there's offering envelopes there in the seat pocket in front of you. If you're making out checks tonight, you can go ahead and make them out to Family Church. Praise the Lord. We're just going to take up one offering, then we're going to just send Reverend Greer home. How many of you know, when a guest minister comes in and they preach and they minister to us and they flow with the Spirit and they deliver life-changing messages in our midst, folks, how many of you know that when we take up offerings for guest ministers, that money isn't just something that just goes in their pocket and they go and throw a party with it? You understand? How many of you know that Randall Greer Ministries, they have staff back in Oklahoma. They have offices. They have equipment. They have publications and books and CDs and all these things. How many lives? We will never know this side of heaven just how effective those materials, all that equipment, everything, what that's producing. And we get an opportunity to be a part of it tonight. Amen. All of those things. And of course, most importantly, what the Lord's doing in Reverend Greer's ministry and all the souls that are connected to his faithfulness. So praise the Lord. We have our offering ready here tonight. Let's go ahead. Let's just bring it before the Lord and let's be grateful. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. Father, we're not here to try to pay for your grace. Father, we're not here trying to pay or owe something. But Father, we are here to be honorable. We're here to be grateful. Father, we're here to be generous. And Father, we're here to obey your word, that if we've been taught, Father, that we should communicate to those that teach us the word good things. Father, if they've sown spiritual things into our lives, they should reap natural. And Father, we just say tonight that every need that Randall Greer Ministries has, Father, we say that that need, those needs are met and superseded. Father, we say that those needs are swallowed up in abundant provision. Father, we say that that ministry is overflowing with more than enough. Father, all the resources they need, Father, flow to them so that more souls are reached, helped, more churches are established like we have been this week, Father. We just love you. We praise you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, it's been so good this week. Folks, don't forget, if you have children in the nursery or in the children's ministries, please go over first thing, pick those children up, and then everybody head on out there to that book and tape table. Folks, there's great resources. Reverend Greer has his testimony out there. If you have friends and family that you would like to witness to, those are really powerful witnessing tools. Great resources, praise the Lord. You know, play those CDs, you know, in your vehicle. Turn it into a university, amen. Just, you know, we don't have to learn these things on our own. Let's just learn it from those that the Lord has shown them, and we don't have to just try to figure out everything on our by ourselves, amen. Praise the Lord. Also, for our ministers that will be joining us for dinner tonight, just letting you know, as soon as we dismiss, we'll be heading over to the conference room there for our dinner. So if you're involved in that, you know, mingle for a few minutes and then head right on over, and we're going to get the dinner started. And folks, before we close these meetings, We must say a great big thank you to the Ministry of Helps that it takes to put on meetings like this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so everyone that's been involved, there's so much that goes on. I mean, we're talking from the parking lot attendants, audio, video, music team, ushers, nursery workers, children's workers. We have folks preparing meals and serving. And there's folks that are watching our kids so my wife and I can be a good host and all the things. I mean, there's cleaning teams. And so we just thank all of those that serve in the Ministry of Helps. Thank you. There's not a pastor on this earth that can do it alone. All right, we are accomplishing these things together as a church family. The pastoral office needs the Ministry of Helps. Amen. And vice versa. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. So again, we just thank you. Let's just rejoice for a minute. Give him the praise and glory. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, you are holy. Father, we receive what we have heard with joy. Father, we'll be doers of the word. We'll be blessed in all of our needs. And Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.